This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening? Football Monday, ready to go. Tiki and Tierney here on this awesome day around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Yeah, we'll squeeze in a little Nuggets, Clippers, a little Game 7 later, but it is all about football out of the chute. Hopefully everybody's doing well. And the challenge today, as it is every Monday, aside from squeezing in all of the pertinent storylines for the previous Sunday, but particularly in week one, it's navigating what's real and what's not. And it's a mishmash of everything. The bad Eagles fans are worried. Jets fans are livid. Browns fans are despondent. Brady's critics are out in full force. And then you got the good Teak. You got the Jags. You got Trubisky. You got Cam. You got Kyler Murray and the Cards. Again, the challenge is determining what is a bit of an anomaly and what is maybe the beginning of a trend. So let's get to work, brother. How you doing today?
I am well. You are on this Trubisky wagon nonstop. He had a good fourth quarter only because the Detroit Lions gave it to him. He was abysmal in the first half, but that's not the story to start the show.
No, that's certainly not the story. The three touchdowns in the fourth quarter might be, though.
Yes, but the story to start the show is the expectations for Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay and how he looked the part for a series and then kind of looked very average. And I hate to say it, BT. I haven't said it in 3 years since he's hit 40. Old. Mm-hmm. He looked old and immobile and not able to get around. And in contrast, which we will do in our next segment, Cam Newton looked amazing in that Pats offense. I'm just saying, man.
Yeah.
But look, we had expectations for the Buccaneers because there's so much talent on that squad. There's the wide receiving core, the tight ends. I mean, they had three tight ends. They got three like really superstar tight ends. If you really think about it, Cameron Brate is so good. OJ Howard should evolve into one. And obviously Gronk didn't do anything. I didn't even hear his name for half of the game. Defensively, they're still one of the best, if not the best, to start the first week of the season statistically against the run. The problem is Tom Brady made mistake after mistake. He missed passes. He threw interceptions and a pick six that ultimately cost him the game. And it's hard not to feel let down because what we wanted to see was Tom Brady just as a savior for Tampa Bay, and he might not be. I don't want to say it. I don't want to believe it. It's one game. I'm not going to overreact, BT, but yeah, you never know. I always say this all the time, right? Eventually, you just walk off a cliff.
Yep.
Right? You're just done.
Yep.
You're great, and then you're just done. I don't believe it, but man, it didn't look like he had anything that much left for most of that game.
It didn't look good. I mean, the numbers are ugly. These are numbers that I'm usually attached to my quarterbacks. 23 out of 36.
Yep.
Fewer than 7 yards an attempt, a couple of picks, one a pick six. He was sacked three times. Now, and by the way, Drew Brees didn't exactly look spry.
He didn't have to. He just dumped it off to Alvin Kamara.
I hear you.
You know what
I
mean?
I still don't know where his arm is. Again, they won the game, so we don't really need to zone in on Drew Brees right now. But, you know, it's funny, the dynamic. You bounce around the red zone. Russell Wilson was superb. Gardner Minshew was historically great. One in completion. Lamar Jackson, phenomenal. You know, I've been all over the Kyler Murray Express. Looked great. Josh Allen looked really good. And then you sit there and you watch, you know, the two aging heavyweights who are kind of like sagging on each other in the middle of the ring, kind of like looking, we're going to hear the little ding-dong, 10 seconds, I want to get back to my corner, where's my stool? They looked old, and the ratings were great. I believe they were that game was the highest rated game on Fox in 4 years. So everybody tuned in to watch these two Titans, these two iconic quarterbacks, no doubt. But Teague, I do think I'll admit it, I'm more of a hot take guy than you, but I mean, I'm not a ridiculous hot take guy. I think that this show has oozes sensibility, all right?
Yep.
But I don't think it's irresponsible, as you and I are both trending in this direction, to say these guys are getting old, and you know this. Yes. We might see a few more of these games this year. You might
look at the end of the day. Drew Brees has adapted to not having to do all that much. They've won 13 games, and I forget what they won the year before. Maybe it was 12, but they've won the division 3 years in a row, and it hasn't been about Drew Brees. We talked about this last week. Drew Brees throwing for 5,000 yards and putting it all on his back. Yep. That's not how they win anymore. They have a really sound defense, and Janoris Jenkins, who people thought was washed up here in New York, actually played really well for the Saints. And Malcolm Jenkins is there as well. Cam Jordan, they have a good defense all the way around, which balances what they do offensively. When you have a guy as dynamic as Alvin Kamara, as we just mentioned, you don't need Drew Brees to be that guy. So I think the Saints, despite Drew, yes, BT, I agree with you, looking a little bit old, are going to be okay because they've been used to doing it this way.
I don't disagree with that.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, however, I love Bruce Arians. You know, he is my favorite coach. Because I've known him since the day I was born. Literally, I'm not being facetious with that. But at the end of the day, they're asking Tom Brady to do things that Tom Brady doesn't do consistently great. What Tom Brady does consistently great is hit a check down, hand the ball off 15 times, 16 times, maybe 25 times a game. And if it's not a handoff, you throw a short out route or crossing route to intermediate receivers and nickel and dime and force your way to like crush the will of your opponent. What Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, this offense, are trying to do with Tom Brady is push the ball downfield. And I get it. You got the talent to do it. Push it. Go ahead. But Tom Brady just isn't quite that guy anymore. And so they're going to have to find a balance. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot of ugly weekends from Tom Brady.
Oh, boy. You know, I remember saying this when Brady was getting smacked with citations for trying to circumvent, I'm being facetious somewhat, the Tampa city ordinances.
No, he was. You're
that?
Not being facetious? What do you mean? He was blatantly circumvented.
No, but remember when he went to what's
Berkeley,
his name?
Berkeley Height.
No, but when he went to the...
He went to Byron Leftwich's house.
When he went to Byron's house, he had the duffel bag, and everyone's like, well, are they footballs, or are they actually going over? Is it a laptop? What are they doing here? Brady was trying to get up on the Pats offense, and that on the Bucs offense. Totally understood. But my fear was that because this was such an unconventional offseason that, you know, I know he's got his TB12 method. I know he's in great shape, and he's in terms of, like, pliability and, you know, muscle resilience, if you will, and tendon resilience. The guy never pulls anything. It's amazing. You got a kicker pulling a hamstring yesterday on a 31-yard or a 31-yard attempt. Tom Brady's playing 20 years. He pulls nothing. So he's a modern medical marvel in a lot of ways, outside of the one time that his knee got blown up when he got hit low on opening day about 12, 13 years ago. He's been a pillar of health and perfection. But I was worried, Teague, and I remember you and I talked about this. Yeah. I'm like, Teague, if you shut it down for so long and the skills remain dormant, even though he's not a quick twitch guy, but his quick twitch, whatever's quick twitch to him, I was worried that you'd get a little stale and it would infiltrate the body to the point where you can't expunge that. And I'm not saying that it's here, but it was a concern then, and yesterday did nothing to quiet those concerns I had 5 months ago.
Yeah, no, you're right. The offensive line isn't great. It was better than I expected, but it still wasn't great. The first interception that Tom Brady threw was he didn't tip his hand, but he got it just at the last moment.
Yes,
which threw off the follow through of his throw, which is why it sailed. That one was forgivable. The second one wasn't. Bruce Arians talked about both of these throws, BT. And the one thing you love about Bruce Arians is he doesn't mince words at all. Doesn't care who he's talking about. Listen to Bruce.
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. And, he knows how to bounce back, and he knew he didn't play very well. It's not what he expects from himself, nor do we expect. So Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate him to have a little more grit and a little more determination this week.
A little more grit? He's pretty gritty.
I know, but it's
a little more grit.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what Boosh is talking about there. Maybe, right? I mean, there clearly was something happening on the sideline that, or in the locker room that we're not privy to.
Here we go.
That was interesting.
Oh, boy.
When have we ever heard that about Tom Brady?
It's one thing, a little more consistency, a little more accuracy, a little more knowledge of the playbook, a little more familiarity with his teammates' tendencies. Those are all things that Bruce Arians could have said. A little more grit? Mm. Oof.
I don't know.
That was a weird one. I don't know.
But that was a weird one.
We'll get our answers, obviously. You know, week two is around the corner. The beautiful thing about the NFL, you know, especially week one, and I ran through some of the scenarios. The Jets, no, but not that anybody cares, but the Jets were sub-professional. The Jaguars, a team that's supposed to be tanking, beat a team that I think is still going to be really good. I really like the Colts. You mentioned Cam Newton, who we'll get to thoroughly next segment. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals beating the team that got to the Super Bowl in the NFC, the NFC rep. There's Carson Wentz, who's had more turnovers the last year than any fumbles, than any quarterback in the NFL. He gift-wrapped that game to Washington. There were so many things that happened yesterday, and I'll reiterate, the challenge is to extrapolate, you know, what's just no preseason, week one, a little rust, or maybe a little more worrisome than that. So let's officially get a scoreboard on the Brady stuff.
Yep.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, grossly concerned, and 1, that's no big deal. Where are you?
I'm 5.
Give me a number.
I'm five. I'm only 5, BT.
And that's pretty high.
But it's only because – so I'm not higher because there wasn't a preseason. Mm-hmm. And what did he have? 2.5 weeks in pads? And it wasn't really full speed. These guys weren't, like, in danger of getting hit or hurt or any of those other things. Mike Evans was banged up for the last week and a half or so, so you lose some timing. Like, I'm not that concerned because of all the things that have happened in the offseason. But I am at midway concerned at the 5 level, BT, with Tom Brady, because he's 43 years old.
I keep bringing this up.
And this is not what he's been used to for the last 19 seasons. It's not like he walks into that meeting room with Josh McDaniels when he was up in New England, and it's all right, we have this Rolodex of plays in our mind that we've been installing and deinstalling and, you know, putting away on the side and bringing back and game planning in but game planning out for 15-19 years, right? He doesn't have that with Byron Leftwich, so it's not like they can go sit in a room and figure this thing out in an hour and a half. This is deep with what as they try to refigure Brady into this offense, and I don't think that's going to be easy. So I'm slightly concerned, not like heavily concerned, but slightly concerned. And we'll see more obviously in week two. But Brady wasn't good in week one.
No.
He wasn't, and
no.
it's not something that I think we've said for 19 years, maybe less than that, maybe 16 years with the opening game for Tom Brady as the NFL season kicks
off. Any game for Tom Brady.
That's
he
right.
never throws two picks. Granted, the first one was a near tippage, whatever. Second one was the kind of throw, if it's from the wrong guy, like at this point, you know, if it's from Baker, we'll get to them. Jeez, the Browns. If it comes from Darnold, if it comes from Trubisky, if it comes from guys we're trying to get a real read on still, you put that in the probably, that's more evidence why so-and-so's not the guy. That's how bad that pick six was. It was 2.5 feet behind the intended target, and it wasn't 30 yards downfield. Like, that was a horrible read and a horrible reaction. The one thing we know about Tom, while he's had a dearth of these games, I mean, over 20 years, he's a stand-up dude. Post-game, Tom Brady on the offense. What'd you see?
The Saints kind of play how they always play. They did a good job on offense. You know, we hung our defense out to dry, you know, on some short fields with not moving the ball, not, you know, doing very well on third down at certain times. Not the turnovers really hurt us. And, you know, got to clean that up for next week. We got to do a lot better job.
You know, the best way, I'm going to give you an example, Teague. I'm going to use us, actually. Imagine, now again, we've been together for a long time now, and even though you're in your home, I'm in my home, D-Cell's in the studio, Santer's in his crib as well, we've all been together, four of us, with various roles and responsibilities on the show. You and I have not been in the same room together for over 5 months
yet. That's right.
Of course, we'll step on each other if we're animated or whatever, but I know your cadence. I know your inflection. You know mine. I know what inspires you. You know what inspires me. You know what bores me. I know what bores you. Santer knows how we like to set up the show, what we don't want to be bothered with, what we want, what we need. D-Cell knows what we need, what we don't want to be bothered with. You know, if you had a new partner, if I had a new partner, if we had a new producer, if we had a new engineer, a new associate producer, this show would not sound the way it sounds.
That's right.
So you have to apply that to a new coordinator, new teammates, a new locker room, a new system, a new head coach. It's not going to happen overnight for Tom Brady, but the evidence was strong. And you nor I picked them to win the division. We both had the Saints win in this division,
right.
So we're not stunned. But this was a big slip. And it's interesting, as we get to the next segment, you contrast it with Cam, who looked dynamic, who looked spry, who looked motivated. I don't know if he's going to want to have 15 hits every single week, but that's a different story. It just seems ominous. It does. I think I might even go up to a 6 on the scale of fear that Brady's in trouble. You're at a 5. I think that's realistic. I think that's sensible. Probably 5.5-ish, maybe a 6. Maybe a bit more of an alarmist, but not good. No way to spin it. Not good.
Nope, not at all. It was good for the Saints. They got a win at home. And Alvin Kamara, who they just paid $75 million.
Yeah.
It's really not $75 million. 5 for $75 million, and it's going to be, you know, 2-3 years, and you figure out where you go from there. But he lived up to expectation. That's all you can do if you're Alvin. And I'm happy for him because he's such a good guy. We've had him on a couple times. And
yep.
He had a game. If you had him in fantasy, like I used to. I don't have him anymore.
How'd your team do this week, by the way?
Actually, I did okay because I had Kyler Murray.
Yep, me too.
Which we'll get to later on in the show. He looked good. And
yes, he did.
I mean, you and I might be dead on with our MVP. And we already talked about the Rookie of the Year pick after Thursday Night Football, which we might be dead on with. Yeah. And we might be dead on with our MVP as well. Because Russell Wilson, he looked unbelievable.
He was great. He was great. Now you got Jamal Adams on the back end for Seattle. That is going to be a force. That division's great. If the Rams or the Cards are the worst team in the NFC West, you got a pretty stacked division.
That's right.
We're going to hit it all. Tiki's Giants playing tonight. Big Ben coming back off the elbow. We'll see what Drew Lock's got for the Broncos. We'll see about the Tennessee Titans. Now they've got some expectations, which is always a little different. So we'll hit it all. We'll do 5-star rewind, which has been a Monday staple for a long time on this show. Inbounds, out of bounds, hour number 2. We'll squeeze in the basketball as well. The 2 games tonight, Heat and the Celtics. Eastern Conference Finals game 1. And somehow the Nuggets are still alive against the Clippers game. They like this script. So we'll get to that as well. Tiki and Tierney, just roll and get us on Twitter. Love to get your thoughts. What you really thought was important from yesterday. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Just getting going. Well, good. CBS Sports Radio. All right. Good to see the teams back on the field yesterday, huh? A little week 1 action. No better place to get into all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Now, to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. That's millions up for grabs. It's on the table. Hey, if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, you hear, well, my buddy does DraftKings, and you know, this guy does DraftKings. I see these DraftKings commercials. How do I get involved with DraftKings? I want to win some money. It's simple. Listen up. All you have to do, by the way, now is just get the app, all right? Just download the DraftKings app. Download my name for the sweet hookup, Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. That's use code Tierney, all right? And if you want to win some loot, draft a lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means a little more DraftKings. So you pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap. You got to juggle those finances, all right? And see how your team stacks up against the competition. Pretty simple. Download the app, as I said. Use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. For a limited time, new users get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action, which is coming up. Enter code Tierney to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Only at DraftKings. That's DraftKings. Making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. I like the way you're working. Mm-hmm. It's a good beat, Teak, right? I like the way you're working.
No diggity.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com To learn more, we've got a little five-star rewind coming up, always a Monday staple the entire NFL season. Teek and I will roll through the five most impressive or meaningful, poignant moments of the day with some great sound peppered in there, obviously. Hopefully you guys took some of the picks. If you did from Friday, you won some money. Got knocked around yesterday a little bit, to be fair, but I was 4-0 on Saturday in college, which I was a little very surprised at.
Well, college was a crapshoot, man.
Crazy, man. I can't believe I was 4-0. Yesterday, not as good, but 6-4 week one, so we got some winners. And before we get to Cam.
Not good. That's 60%, dude.
Yeah, but you know what we're striving for here
on
the show, buddy.
I know, of course, but dude, 60% is, that's money, dude.
Well, the only reason I appreciate that. The only reason I said, when you start 4-0,
I mean, you got visions of an 8-1 week.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, yeah.
Before we get to Cam, I know there was no fans at Carolina. How was the was the game?
Yes, so I did Syracuse at UNC. It felt like a college game without a lot of prep. We all know that North Carolina – I don't know if Syracuse had this issue, but I remember North Carolina had a stoppage. They had a, you know, maybe it was 300 or so, 200 or 300 kids on campus broke out.
No,
they,
much more than that.
It might have been. You
much
might
more
right.
than that.
And they stopped practice.
Yes.
And so it was, I think, a week and a half, maybe 10 days that they didn't practice or do any activities around the football program. And to be honest, BT, it showed. Early in that game, Carolina, who was supposed to be really good. I mean, they're ranked 18th, I believe, in preseason polls. Looked slogged down. They had one great drive, and then it was a bog until they got their run game going in the late third quarter, and then it was a blowout. Syracuse isn't nearly competitive right now, but it was really intriguing how there was no fans.
Like crazy,
it was odd to look at it. Like no, they pumped crowd noise, so I didn't feel it with my headset on, you know, and calling the game, and kind of just ignored that there was no fans there. But when you look out. And it's empty. It's got to be hard for the kids to generate enthusiasm. And they were trying to like dance and do all this stuff on the sideline. It's kind of falling flat at times.
Was the rest of the campus fairly empty as well? Yeah. I know you probably didn't spend much time around the rest of the park.
Most of the campus was empty. No kids were around. I think. It's probably half and half. A lot of the kids went home because it's all remote learning. Some of them maybe stayed if it's just easier for them.
Yeah.
But there was nobody around.
Foreign students, et cetera.
Yep, exactly.
When's your next college game?
Next weekend, I'm going to Louisville, Miami, which is going to be a great matchup. Mikael Cunningham, who's the quarterback for Louisville, and De'Aaron King, who's the quarterback for D-Cell's U. Throw up the U for D-Cell. Not a great thrower of the ball, actually very inaccurate thrower of the ball, De'Aaron King, but they rushed for 337 yards last week.
Against UAB?
Against UAB. I mean, they laid it down on them. But the first game, interesting stat here, game that the University of Miami has won without having a turnover. You know, the turnover chain and all that
stuff.
Of course.
Well, they did something new this year. It looks sick.
Yeah, with the touchdowns, the touchdown things. First game that they've won without a turnover since November of 2016.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, a little more conventional. So you don't have to rely on the – I got you. All right. Well, listen, good. Tiki's doing a lot of games for college and some NFL games as well, so we'll be traveling to take you – you know, if he's in the building, I'm going to certainly let him tell us what it's like. I mean, it's odd, so I wanted to get a sense of what it was like in Chapel Hill. All right, we're getting a sense of what it's going to be like for the Pats without Tom Brady. Much more athletic. Let's first hear from the coach, Bill Belichick, on his new quarterback. Here's Bill.
Cam's done great for us. He's very, very unselfish player. He's a great teammate. He's earned everybody's respect, really, daily. He just continues to do everything that he can to help our team. He played well today. You know, he hit a lot of passes. He ran the ball well. He led the team. He made some good checks and adjustments. And so, you know, I thought that he did a good job.
He did. Two things why I wouldn't overreact to that is, number one, it's Miami. And not that Miami's, you know, moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
We know
they,
that.
They retooled a little bit. Yeah. But it is their first game altogether with all these new pieces that they brought in free agency.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick coughed it up a few times, as Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you know, generally want to do. So that hurt Miami and, you know, kind of stalled a few drives, whatever. That's number one. Or you could even say this is number one and that's number two. But, you know, the ability for Cam to 15 designed runs.
Yeah.
That's cute in week one. Come talk to me in the middle of October when you're all beat up. Can this work?
He's going to have to throw the ball more effectively, BT, and they're going to have to do it more consistently. Yes, in week one, I get it, right? He's fresh. He didn't play all of last year, but this is what put him in the injury room on the training table down in Carolina, because their old school game plan was let's throw some deep balls to, you know, Benjamin and I forget the other big wide receiver that they used to have down in Carolina. And I can't remember his name. It's like slipping my mind. Yeah. But, you know, let's throw deep balls. And if he's not there, Cam, tuck it and run. And yeah. When we get in the red zone, Cam, tuck it and run, which is great until you start having shoulder issues. You start having, you know, nagging hip injuries. You get a shot in the ribs, even though he wears those big ass rib pads. Mm-hmm. He can't do this every week because he's not Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson runs around and he'll run for 115 yards and he'll get hit twice. Cam Newton takes shots. I mean, they have quarterback powers. Now, what that means is guard pulls, Cam Newton takes a step back. He's running down the hole like a running back, and he's taking shots like running backs. He can't do that for 16 games this season. So it was great to put it on film. Because now every defensive coordinator and defensive end, outside linebackers, when Cam sticks that ball in somebody's gut, they're like, wait, I got to wait because I can't take off after the running back. Devin Funchess is who it was.
There you go.
I can't take off after that running back who's diving into that B or C gap. I got to wait to see if Cam holds this ball. Yep. And so it's good game planning, but I don't think he can't have 15 carries for 75 yards and two smashing touchdowns every week for them to win.
Yeah, and it's also a smart way to attack the season rather than doing it the other way. If you come out and you throw it 30 times and you try to incorporate the running aspect like they did yesterday, the timing aspect of those 35 or 30-something throws would be, you know, probably a little skittish because, you know, offseason, new team, new players, new system, blah, blah, blah. Whereas if you come out, you do something relatively benign, even though it might not look benign to the opposing defense, but from an executable point of view, it's pretty basic stuff. Yeah. You either hand it off or you keep it and you just run. You're a big guy. I thought it was and that you do that and you get stuff on film. That's an outstanding point. You force other teams to prep for that. Now, as you have more practice time, more familiarity, now you start doing some more things downfield when the timing is better. But you also you pick up a win and you move on.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the biggest thing, BT. I don't know if you listened to this game. I listened to this one. This is the one that I had on. I have three TVs down here. This is the one that I had the sound on. And it was our A-team, Nance and Tony Romo. And there were a couple of important points that Tony made and throughout the game. One was there were defenses will try to confuse Cam every single time. They'll put guys in the A gaps, the B gaps. They'll be all up front. And if there's a run play called, you have to get out of it because you just don't know if it's going to get blown up, right? Cam is not at the point, and Tony brought this up, he's not at the point where he can check to a play and know exactly how it's going to be executed. That's what Tom Brady's strength was. It mm-hmm. was do whatever you want to try to do to us defensively. Guess what? I'm already a step ahead of you. When you walked onto the field and I saw your personnel grouping and how your safety was cheating this way, I knew what you were about to do. I've already changed the play and you're going to lose, right? Cam Newton is not at that point yet.
No.
The second thing that he brought up, and I didn't think about it until I saw it. When Julian Edelman is not on the field, they're not throwing the football. and I think it's because Cam has some faith in some of these other other wide receivers. And Keel Harry had a couple of good big catches.
Fumble the ball at the goal line.
He fumbled at the goal line, which was an asinine play. I mean, that almost brought Miami back into the game.
Yes, it did.
Just go down at the one. They're going to score the next play anyways, right?
Yeah.
He's a young kid. He'll figure that out. But it's really – Julian Edelman is the key. Like, they use him in so many different ways. And if he's not on the field, you can bet that they're not passing the football. And so it's a key that Cam's going to have to learn how to adjust to that defenses are going to pick up on eventually.
Okay, one of the many things we're doing, we're bouncing around. And coming up next, we bounce into a Tiki and Tierney staple. We're going to strap in a little five-star rewind. We'll bring you the best sounds from yesterday. All right, we'll get to that coming up after Racks Update. Rich Ackerman. Right now, here he is. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, back on this Football Monday. Time to ask the pros right now. We're going to strap you in for five-star rewind. That is next. All right, but right now, I'll give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy to do. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio, at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros, and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. So challenge us and get a good chance to have it read on the air. We'll give you some props, and we'll take care of it that way. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Coming up top of the hour, what a morbid, pitiful, perplexing, infuriating performance by the Browns. Jeez, that was wretched.
How many in a row is this that they've lost their season opener?
15 or 16.
15, 16. I mean, yeah. Come on.
That's a joke. And they, I mean, come on. They were so bad. More lack of connections from with Baker and Beckham. They just can't get on the right page. That's not the main issue, but there's quite a few. So we'll get to that at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Big Ten, some news there. Inbounds, out of bounds, hour two. But it has been 7 years we've done this now.
Yep.
It's a Monday staple, a little five-star rewind. Strap you in and bring you to the best sounds of the week that was. You ready to roll?
Let's hit it.
Let's go.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Ah, missed the beast. All right, Tiki, as always, we start on the Sunday night stage. Dallas looking for new results with a new head coach, but the refs not cooperating. The boys absolutely hosed on this ridiculous call.
Three receivers right, single man to the left. Prescott takes the snap, fakes the handoff, back to throw. He looks. He goes deep down the left side for Michael Gallup, and it's caught inside the 25, inside the 20. Jalen Ramsey makes the tackle. There are flags all over the place, and I think this is coming back. It looks like it's going to be offensive pass interference on Gallup. Ramsey was signaling for it almost immediately.
And he got it. Bring it back. Does not count. That was about 31 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. That's how it sounded. Ryan Radke on the Westwood One Sports Network. And close one. He also was shooed at the field goal, Mike McCarthy did. Dallas loses by a three-spot, Teak.
Yeah, now that was the biggest decision. With about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter, down by three, you go for it. On fourth down, you want to put faith in, you know, there's some problems, or people had some problems with him saying this was all about the analytics. You don't use analytics, Mike McCarthy. You run the ball every play on first down, and you're predictable in a sense. This wasn't about analytics. This was you trying to be cute, and it didn't work out for you because that would have tied the football game and made it a very different proposition. Now, that pass interference call, the head referee spoke about it after the game. He said it was clear, it was evident, hand extended and pushing off. That is going to get called 100% of the time, despite people saying that the Cowboys were hosed. It was the absolute right call. Interestingly, on the other side for the L.A. Rams, BT, this running back by committee kind of worked for him.
It did.
I was surprised. And Malcolm Brown was the lead dog there, 79
yes,
yards and two touchdowns. Cam Akers had his piece as well. But still, this Rams team surprised me. Jared Goff pushed the ball downfield. He had only one interception, no touchdowns, but they come away with an important win, especially because we know that the NFC West is going to be a tough division this season.
Yeah, he was feeding Robert Woods early and often. He played pretty well, but let's get back to the call that was head coach Mike McCarthy on that flag late.
Just watching it live, it looked like two guys hand fighting. I thought it was well executed. I was surprised there was a call there either way. So obviously disappointed in the call, particularly at that point in the game. I thought they let both teams play tonight. And, you know, you just don't usually see that, particularly at a critical point in the game.
All right, Teague, up next for Dallas. They'll host the Falcons. Dallas early 5.5-point favorites. The Rams will be in Philly. Eagles have their own issues, which we'll get to in a moment. The Birds are -1. Speaking of Philly, we head now to Washington. A little NFC East battle. A new energy slowly permeating Daniel Snyder's franchise. Down go the Birds.
Second and goal from the three. Logan Thomas comes in motion across the formation right now, back to the left. They hand off here to Peyton Barber with time. Dives through. Is he in? Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
And this Washington team is excited, guys. Come on. This is what we're talking about.
You got the whole crew there. You had Bram Weinstein on the call. You have Julie Donaldson, who we've known for years. Love Julie. D'Angelo Hall mixing in some work at the end. Washington Football Network. Final score, 27-17. You give props big time to Washington. let's face it, Carson Wentz and the Birds gave this away. They choked.
Yeah, no, look, we know why this happened. Carson Wentz was sacked 8 times. They were up 17 to zip at one point in this game. But when you have Lane Johnson, who was their 3-time All-Pro right tackle, and Brandon Brooks, who's their 3-time Pro Bowl right guard, out, and Jake Driscoll and Nate Herbig are getting their first starts, you give up 8 sacks. Chase Young had a sack. Montez Sweat had a sack. Deron Payne had half a sack. Jonathan Allen had half a sack. And Ron Kerrigan, the old head, all first-rounders, by the way, for the Washington football team, had 2 sacks. They got after this team defensively. We knew that Washington had improved defensively. This shows the grit that Ron Rivera is bringing to this team, and Dwayne Haskins did just enough.
And Dwayne Haskins touched on what was a very emotional and motivational halftime speech. It obviously worked here at the second-year quarterback from Ohio State for Washington. What was said at halftime?
Pretty much the moral of the speech was, you know, we're home. We're the home team. They're the visitors. There's no reason why we should be feeling like we should be a little bro to them in a sense. So for me, it was find a way to win. They find a way to win and beat us last year at their place, and this is our house, and we're killing ourselves. Nothing that they did that really stopped us. So we just got to continue to keep finding ways to win every game.
All right, there you go. Mentioned before, the Eagles will take on the Rams coming up in Week 2. Washington 1-0. They're going to go take on Kyler Murray and the Cards, who we'll get to a little bit later. Cards now early 6.5-point favorites out of the chute. Let's move on. Can you say a little Super Bowl hangover? Defending NFC champ shredded by my man Kyler Murray, the newest superstar in the NFL, using his wheels to slice up the Niners' D.
Shotgun formation. Snap to Murray. In trouble. Steps up and runs to his right of the 20. Cuts back to the left of the 10. Breaks a tackle to the 5. Running right for the end zone. Touchdown. Kyler Murray with a touchdown run. Arizona has the lead in San Francisco, 16-13, with 10:26 to go.
If you're going to blitz the Q, you better get him.
Okay, Hulk Hogan. That's how it sounded. Dave Passion, Ron Wolfie doing their thing. Wolfley, pardon me. On the Cards Radio Network, the 17-13 score at that point. Some more action after that. It would wrap up 24-20. And Kyler Murray should have had 100 yards, a couple of kneel downs. He would have. He looked great. Big win for the Cardinals.
Yeah, if you had him on your fantasy team, like I did.
We
in
did.
Some places. 28 points he had. Mm-hmm. 91 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown, as well as 230 yards and a passing touchdown. He did have an interception. But this trade that we talked about so much this offseason with DeAndre Hopkins coming over from Houston targeted him 16 times. I mean, 16, that's a lot of targets. He had 14 catches, which was a career high for DeAndre Hopkins, by the way, if you can believe that. 151 yards. He didn't get in the end zone, but this is going to be a combination between these two. This is going to be one of the most exciting to watch in football. Jimmy Garoppolo, he was good. 2 touchdown passes. One of them was a dump off to Raheem Mostert, who went 76 yards for a touchdown. But this team had a little bit of a hangover. You can feel it. Now, some of it may be the energy or
some injuries.
Injuries, exactly. I'm not counting the 49ers out. I'm just saying, as we've been saying for the last, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months, Arizona might be better than people kind of expected it to be.
We both gave them a lot of love this summer. We thought they were a year away. Who knows? Maybe they're a year ahead of schedule. Mentioned before, the Cards will take on victorious Washington. That's in Arizona next week. The Niners get a bit of a get-right game, even though they've got to go 3,000 miles to do it. They'll take on the Jets, who are the worst team in the NFL yesterday. They were horrendous. Niners early 7-point favorites. How about this? Let's go to Motown. Don't look now. Mitchell Trubisky. You heard me, Tiki. Mitchell Trubisky showing up and showing out in the fourth quarter, dropping dimes. This one, 27 yards and a dagger to Anthony Miller.
Snap back, Trubisky to wind up, throw down the right side for Miller. Over the shoulder catch.
Touchdown.
Makes the gap. Touchdown.
Wait,
Bears.
We got a touchdown?
Almost
touchdown?
Like Thanksgiving Day near the 2-yard line. An over the shoulder throw and a beauty by Mitchell Trubisky. Anthony Miller about to get mobbed in the end zone. He beat his man by a step. Beautifully thrown. Perfectly thrown. And the Bears have taken the lead on Detroit.
Dude, that's like when you win at cards and you're not very good at cards and you're not sure if you won.
You're like, wait, I won?
I won? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I won. Give me the touchdown? Like, so unsure. It's a touchdown, dude. Come on. Show some enthusiasm. That's how it sounded. 105.9 FM Chicago. I know he wasn't great for the first three, but Trubisky, fourth quarter, looked awesome.
Oh, he looked amazing. And Allen Robinson, who caught that touchdown, he's been good the last couple of years. He had 76 yards and a touchdown on the day. They rushed for 149 yards. It makes it so much easier. And you saw this even in the first half when Trubisky completed 44% of his passes and threw an interception. It's like, dude, just run the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, make it easy on the kid. Stop asking him to throw the ball. He was way off target. But in the second half, whether it was collapse of the Detroit Lions, which it likely was.
It was.
Or Mitchell Trubisky just playing a little bit better or having more confidence. You got to give Coach Nagy some credit. He never wavered with the kid. He said, get out there and get it and do it. You're going to throw a touchdown on this pass. At least that's what that's how the legend goes. And he did. You give him some credit. But Detroit, if they keep losing games like this, just like they did last year. Remember, they had a 16-point lead against the Cardinals. Ended up tying the game in the fourth quarter. This is what costs you, Matt Patricia, your job. You got to be able to win games like this. Bad teams lose close games like this.
Can't disagree. Bears 1-0. They'll host Tiki's Giants. The G-men playing tonight against the Steelers. Bears early 5.5-point favorites. The Detroit Lions lick your wounds and then go to Green Bay and take on the Packers. That's what you're doing. Green Bay -6. And it is crazy, the unforgiving nature of the NFL. DeAndre Swift, who's going to be good, and he had a touchdown earlier. But if he makes that play, nobody's talking about Matt Patricia today.
Nope.
Now we're already firing up that flame for the hot seat. It's an unforgiving craft, but it is what it is. Yep. All right, finally, there's a pretty good chance you're already knocked out of your survivor pool as the Jaguars beat the Colts. Gardner Minshew nearly perfect, including this one, to Mr. Keelan Cole. Count it.
First down, Jacksonville from the 22. Bunch left, one receiver right. Under center is Minshew. Robinson, the running back. Play fake. Minshew looks. Fires. Corner of the end zone, wide open. Keelan Cole's going to walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the Jags have taken the lead with 5:56 to play in the ball game.
Yeah, they would tack on the PAT, make it 27-20. Keep in mind, the Indianapolis Colts were 8-point favorites here. The Jaguars disbanded their roster, shipped out all their marquee players, at least on defense. And I'll tell you what, Gardner Minshew, you could not be much better. One incompletion. We know about the moxie. Now people need to start giving this kid some props. He's got some skill.
Yeah, they definitely do. This team, I mean, it's not dissimilar. We talked about this, BT, as the Miami Dolphins. You ship out all your talent. Miles Jack is the only one really that's still left. He had a sack and led the team in tackles for the Jacksonville Jaguars on defense. But if you galvanize, if the team that's left, the guys that are left, play tight and believe in one another, great things happen. 19 of 20, 173 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hey, Leonard Fournette, you did have a quarterback. You just didn't know it because you were trying to throw him under the bus, trying to get Cam Newton. But on the other side, BT, I mean, I really like Phillip Rivers, but Phillip Rivers is always just Phillip Rivers. He had 2 interceptions, and he should have thrown 3. Yeah. By the way, programming note, Marlon Mack out for the season with an Achilles.
Yeah, young men, usually the Achilles are a little bit older. The last couple of years, I think more and more it's kind of creeping into younger bodies. I don't know. But the Colts do get the loss. They're 0-1. They'll host the Vikings, who also lost. And Jacksonville takes on Tennessee in Tennessee. And right now, the Titans early 10-point favorites. There it is. We've got a lot more of these to go. That is week one, the installment. 5-star rewind here on Tiki and Tierney. You know who didn't make it? They would have made it if we were doing the complete opposite of 5-star rewind, like 5-dud rewind. The Browns, they got problems. They got really problems with Baker Mayfield, and they got problems all around. We got to talk about that mess, which we'll do coming up. Hour 2 right around the bend. Tiki and Tierney on a Football Monday. Also, the Big Ten with an important vote. Tiki and I will let you know about the details of that. Inbounds, out of bounds, Hour 2. But Browns fans, we're coming at you next. Don't miss it.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.